The NFL season is finally upon us, and here at WST Podcast, what do we care about? Well, we care about those West Coast teams. So we went and gathered four of the best beat writers covering the NFC West. Well, actually three. Kay Wynn will fill in the Rams, but we got Jessima McIntyre covering the Hawks, Kyle Madsen, a.k.a. Kay Boogie, covering the 49ers, as well as Jess Root covering those Cardinals. We're going to break down the 53-man roster, those from the practice squad that could emerge. No OTAs and definitely no preseason, so you're going to want to listen in. And we'll also break down that first quarter of the season, their predictions, as well as some really, really healthy and funny banter. WST Podcast is sponsored by 88 Acres, the Seed Bar, as well as Smokey the Bear, who reminds you only you can prevent forest fires.
I've been talking to you for like 5 minutes. He's quit ignoring me. You know what can't be ignored? 49ers success this season. Niners.
Image piece. Oh, now we're going to have fun. Okay, good. Yeah. I've been miserable to this point.
Pulling teeth. Got four cavities. Root canal. I might. First.
And that defense was just hot garbage last year. Hot garbage. I mean, they were terrible.
But you don't sound like a girl. You've got a voice for football.
Our fourth best team in the NFC West. A preview for Sean McVay's LA Rams.
This is my jurisdiction. The new SoFi Field, SoFi Stadium, is a mere 10 to 15 minutes away. I'm happy and delighted to speak about my Los Angeles Rams, who many people are picking fourth, but hey, get ready for a shocker. Grab some popcorn, because the Rams are ready to score some touchdowns.
Kyle, any surprises in the 53-man roster, whether cuts or
keepers? No. It's the first time I've ever seen, because I've been doing 53-man roster stuff. I started with USA Today doing Titans Wire before the 2017 season. I've never seen such a consensus on 53-man roster projections as I have with the Niners this year. Like, usually there's two or three positions per team where there's one or two players that may or may not make it, and it's all these guys. I didn't even do a roster bubble post this year because Doug Farrar, one of our writers at the NFL Wire, he was doing a whole post about a guy who is a veteran who might not make each team. And it was just like, man, I don't have anything for you. Like, I don't think there's going to be any surprises. Deion Jordan was the one. I got one player wrong. It was Deion Jordan. I thought he would make it, but solely because of numbers. It wasn't because I heard he was playing really well or anything.
All right, Jess, let's transition to what happened last week with the 53-man roster cut down. Any surprises on your end? And then secondarily, if you want to comment on anyone that would be left on the practice squad who might have an impact this year.
Well, I didn't see – there weren't too many big surprises. Some felt that sixth-round pick Evan Weaver was kind of a surprise. Sixth-round picks often – it's not – they get cut. It's I wasn't too surprised. They were super deep at inside linebacker. And this year, in particular, with no offseason, they opted for two backups in Tanner Vallejo and Zeke Turner, who offer big upside on special teams and have done it for the team before. And so rather than the upside at linebacker, they went with people because he probably wasn't going to play anyway other than special teams. They go with a known commodity on special teams. Weaver's on the practice squad. He'll be fine. And, you know, next year he probably can make an impact.
Evan Weaver, that's Cal Bears. We prefer a WST. If anyone cuts, they're from the SEC or ACC. We understand that one.
Jess, 53 roster breakdown. Give us any surprises that you saw. Or was it as expected?
There were big names, but they weren't so unexpected. Obviously, Shaquem Griffin and Paul Richardson were the two biggest names that we saw cut. And luckily enough, Shaquem cleared waivers, and he's now on the practice squad, so he's still within Seattle's system. But Paul Richardson, as soon as they signed Josh Gordon to a contract, they had brought Paul in, and then Josh Gordon comes in, you're like, yeah, Paul's not going to make it because they completely you know, signed Josh Gordon. And I am imagining that's because they have an inkling he's going to be fully reinstated and will be available. We still don't know because he was suspended indefinitely last year. And so when he's reinstated, we're kind of wondering exactly how much of a suspension he's going to have to serve. But anyway, when it comes to roster cuts, the yeah, those are the two biggest names. Nothing else was much of a shock.
Not a whole lot of surprises. Same usual faces, same guys that we expected to make the roster, did make the roster. We do know at running back, because of Daryl Henderson, his hamstring, he's a little banged up. They drafted Cam Akers, who's going to look to share some time and may pull ahead. But they also were able to hold on to Xavier Jones. Yes, that's right. Xavier Jones is a running back. And another name I got for you is Tristan Johnson from Syracuse, undrafted. He's been impressive. He might even squeak his way onto the roster because one thing we know about McVay, it's offense, offense, offense. That's why I focused on the people who made the final cut on the offensive side of the ball because Jared Goff is coming back in a major way this year.
Wide receiver depth, K-Boogie.
Oof. Are you guys going to play some receiver for the Niners or like what's the deal?
I wanted to purposely ask, who's the guy who runs the 5-2-40 but can't be tackled?
Has Juwan Jennings.
Yes. Does he have a shot?
He's on the practice squad for sure. And I'm guessing if they were going to elevate somebody, it would be him instead of Kevin White.
Give me an idea of who's on the practice squad today that could make an impact in the regular season should COVID impact or injuries happen.
Ooh, well, that's a tough one. As you know, the practice squad has been expanded to 16 players, and there are six spots for players regardless of their service time in the NFL. And then usually there's two, but in 2020 they made it six. So we could see a lot of movement with veterans throughout the year on the practice squad. But Penny Hart would have been one that I would have named before he got elevated to it. Shaquem would be the next one I'd see coming off of there. Obviously, depending on whether or not Geno Smith stays healthy, they unfortunately cut our dear beloved
Eric Gordon.
Anthony, we'll miss him. He did not have a stellar preseason, which was unfortunate. But when I look at Danny Etling, if Geno for any reason isn't available, I think that was someone that they actually they liked quite a bit, and he could serve. It was weird because they brought in a fourth quarterback during the preseason. Well, whatever we're calling this preseason training camp, the period before the season starts that has been abbreviated. So it'll be interesting to see if he ever takes a trip up. But then you'd be losing Geno Smith if he clears waivers. It's pretty much a matter of him staying healthy, and I don't see why he wouldn't.
Yeah. Now, I don't expect you to know this, but we talk about the practice squad a little bit on our previews, mainly because there was, again, no OTAs, no rookie minicamp, and no minicamp or even extended period of time to evaluate players. Anyone on the practice squad that you've seen could make an impact in the season?
I'm going to plead the fifth on that one.
Jess, who's your breakout player for the Cards? After, granted, we haven't seen much of training camp. I'm sure you haven't had the privilege to either with limited media, but both sides of the ball, who's going to break out this year, offense and defense for the Cards?
The guy on offense that everyone is talking about is tight end Dan Arnold, and I struggle with that a lot. I mean, he was impactful in the last two games of the season, but it was six catches and two touchdowns. People are jumping on the Dan Arnold train like no other.
So, Jess, I have my fantasy football draft in an hour, and Dan Arnold just went way up my draft board and then way down based on the stats. I don't think there's enough footballs to go around.
88 Acres, your seed bar. Not only do they have bars, K-Win, but they got salad dressings like Green Goddess. Ooh. Everyone loves that. And Garden Ranch. Everyone that eats ranch and those wings game day, but also your butters, sunflower, dark chocolate that I love in my oatmeal. 88 Acres. I got you covered for everything, K-Win.
I'm ready to go. I'm back and revitalized. Let's get back to the show.
88 Acres, the seed company. What other storylines are coming out of camp that we should be aware of around the Hawks?
Oh, well, if you ask Seahawks Twitter, it's whether or not Russ should cook, you know? Oh, my goodness. They throw the least amount in the NFL in the first quarter, and Russell has been a little bit more vocal. He said earlier this season that he wants to attack every quarter like it's the fourth quarter. Now, that's not throwing shade at the offensive coordinator, and Brian Schottenheimer has said that Russ has a lot of autonomy at the line of scrimmage as well, so it's not as though Russ is sitting there begrudging the fact that he's handing off the ball on first and second down and then going third and long. You know, like, that's not, it's not all on the offensive coordinator. But that will be interesting to see if they change their offensive scheme this year.
Follow for the season.
Jimmy Garoppolo is the storyline for me, just because it's, I don't want to say make or break for him, but if he has a season where he's throwing for like 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, and then the Niners are winning like 11 or 12 games and they're winning the NFC West, like, he's an MVP candidate. On the other hand, if he's just barely touching 4,000 yards and they're very clearly like limiting his workload still, and he's still throwing the ball at the other team, like, now there's questions long-term about the Niners' future under center. So it's a huge year. Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy I'm watching the closest. The other storyline I'm really intrigued to follow is Fred Warner's rise. Is he ever going to be that kind of all pro, like, consensus top three linebacker in the league? Or is he always going to be that guy that Niner fans all know about, and maybe, you know, the hardcore NFL fan knows about, but the general football fan doesn't really know who Fred Warner is, and maybe he makes a Pro Bowl or two. I'm looking forward to make that jump, though, to like all pro status this year. And then Richard Sherman, is it his last season? That's another question. So, hey, my boss is on the phone.
Any other storylines we should follow, Jess, as we look at the Cards entering the season or week one?
Ooh, everything's about Kyler, 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 Kyler. I'm all in on Kyler this year because, I mean, look at the history of these top young quarterbacks in their second year. Even if they took a step down later, just look at the history. You've got Jared Goff and Carson Wentz in year two exploded. Trubisky did it. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, all these players in their second year went from whatever they were to a very great quarterback. In fact, they were leading top player, and Kyler was already Rookie of the Year. I don't think there's any doubt that he could probably get 5,000 total combined yards between passing and rushing. I don't think that's too hype, and I think he could have one of the best quarterback seasons that we've ever had from the Cardinals. I don't think that 30 touchdowns is too outlandish, 30 touchdown passes, or at least a combined 30 touchdown between rushing and passing. I think this year the offense is going to be exciting.
Anything else we should follow?
So they're saying Cooper Kupp is next because he's a free agent. He's a big name. With Gurley gone, with Brandon Cooks gone, they need a wide receiver, and Cooper Kupp is someone they're looking to sign in the next week or so, is what my sources say. They're trying to get this deal done ASAP, so look for that. And also, come Sunday, first play of the game, quick out to Cooper Kupp. Got to make that money, got to keep him happy.
Is there any better player comp for Cooper Kupp in the NFL than Julian Edelman? Is he better than Julian?
I would say he's better than Julian. Like, I would say he's a better route runner, and he has better hands than Julian Edelman. He just hasn't played with Tom Brady, the GOAT. And Fair. He's had to share. Edelman did play with some good wide receivers. I'm saying yes, he's better.
So you're throwing Eagles?
No. I just could super see them losing week one. And it's not because I think the Cardinals are going to be better than the Niners, or the Cardinals are going to win the division or anything, but the Niners have the Super Bowl hangover aspect. The Cardinals have DeAndre Hopkins now, and they played them. Like, it's just a matchup thing. The Niners don't do well with these super mobile quarterbacks, and I think Kyler Murray is going to be even better in year two, and now they have DeAndre Hopkins. And I could see a scenario where the Cardinals win like 38-34 or something like that, where they just they have the ball last and they score last and that's it. So if I'm betting, I say no, because winning four games in a row is difficult. But if they do win week one, I think they cruise their through their New York trip, and I do think they beat the Eagles too, because the Eagles are so beat up on the offensive line.
Jess, get out your crystal ball real quick. First quarter of the season at Atlanta, we have Patriots at home, Dallas at home, and then we go to Miami, which is the longest road trip you can possibly take in the NFL, I believe. Give me your forecast of these first four games. How do we get off? How do we start? Are we going to start quick for once? Meaning, are we going to go 3-1, or are we?
I think 3-1. That's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say Cowboys is the loss, and I think it'll be a close game, and I see that one as the only loss on that record. I think that they're going to go to Atlanta, and I think it's going to be a close game, but I think they'll take it. That I love that kind of weird rivalry that became.
Yeah.
I don't know why they play each other every year. That for some reason, they seem to play each other every year. It's like even when they're not playing the NFC South, all of a sudden Atlanta comes up in the rotation. And so
if it comes down to a tight end catching and we lose by a half a yard, I hope that tight end is either Greg Nolson or Will Disley and not Jacob Hollister, so they can actually fall over the goal line, right?
That poor kid.
That's the goal.
Oh, he's right there.
Predict the first quarter of the season for the Cards. So you got at San Fran, you host the Washington Football Club at home. You got Detroit at home after the infamous tie last year. And then you go on the road to Carolina. What does the first four games look like for the Cardinals in your mind?
They should be 3-1. I think they can beat the 49ers. I don't know if they will. Week one, like an opening weekend in your home stadium, even with no fans, it's still hard to beat a home team like that. But those next three games, if the Cardinals are any good, should beat all three of those teams, because all three of those teams are not great.
Jess, I just thought of this. Have they thought about, for the home games, not rolling the field back into the stadium and just playing out in that 120 degree heat?
I think the Cardinals players would be just as upset about that.
The first four games of the season for the Rams are versus Dallas, at Philly, at Buffalo. Are they staying at the Greenbrier with the Niners?
Maybe. It's a little bubble retreat.
And then versus New York, the Giants at home. What do you see them going those first four games of the season?
All right, one more time. I'm a little slow today.
We got one Dallas.
Okay. That's a loss.
Dallas is a loss. We're already chalking that up as a loss. You got Philly. They're banged, battered.
I'm going that's a win. They're banged up.
At Buffalo, where no one circles the wagons quite like the Buffalo Bills.
They got Allen back for another year. He's stronger. They got Diggs. They got my boy and your boy, Zach Moss from the Utes. That's a loss. 1-2.
And then they're home back in SoFi, the friendly confines of SoFi, against the New York Giants and Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley.
They win that one.
2-2.
2-2. Like I said, they're going to hover right around 500.
And it's probably going to come down to those last two games of the season where they're at Seattle and versus Arizona. They find themselves in the playoffs. It's going to be because they've won both those games, in my opinion.
I agree.
I don't want to take any of your juice. That's just my play from scrimmage. What is Shanahan drawing up?
Outside zone to Raheem Mostert.
Nice.
They might do something. They might do like a weird play action where, you know, that play they ran. Here's a good one. This is a good one. This is a really good one. Fuck yeah. I'm so happy I thought of this. You know, that play they ran against the Bengals where Marquise Goodwin had the long touchdown where Jimmy goes play action. He rolls right and then stops and then throws back left. And Marquise Goodwin was all by himself. That play, but Trent Taylor. Where Taylor, he's small. The lineup trips on the right side, and then he just kind of gets lost in the shuffle, weaving his way back up that to the opposite sideline. And so while the defense is flowing the one way, you got tiny. Yeah, exactly. So that's my – if it's not an outside zone to Raheem Mostert, I think that's the play.
Pretty sure I saw a prop bet just like that.
No.
Hey, if that, hey, here's a real thing. If that happens, I need this video cut and posted. Yeah, absolutely. Take out the part where I said the F word, though.
We'll put it on even if it's an outside zone to Moser.
Chris Carson up the middle.
Oh, jeez. What gap?
Oh, over left guard.
Okay. How many yards?
4.
What's your fantasy football team name, Jess?
Oh, Game of Zones. You can't make fun of me.
Oh, that is great. That
I
is
kept great. It. It was a keeper name from last year because I had watched, you know, when the season 8 came out, mm-hmm. I had never watched it. So for like 6 months, I binged all of the seasons so that I could watch it live with my friends who watch it. And I'm like, all right. And then I got addicted to it and it was a serious problem. I had to go to meetings.
And now your fantasy name is Game of Zones.
It was appropriate at the time.
Team name, Cabe Wynn. What is it this year?
So you'll like this. I don't change it. It's Jets, Mets, and Nets. Because when I started, I was the only guy on the East Coast because all my friends are from Northern or Southern California, and I'd have to draft at 1 a.m. So I'm like, forget this. I'm Jets, Mets, Nets. And everyone's like, you got to change it. I'm like, nope, staying strong.
You're sticking with it. I've had that
name for like 8 years.
Are you kidding me?
That's good.
And yeah. Did you draft him then?
I did not. No. Well, here's the. So I have this theory that.
WST Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks, fellas. See you.
All right. Thanks.
For the Arizona Cardinals, we appreciate you taking the time. Jess, be safe.
Jess, well, thank you for jumping on with us, giving us the lowdown on the Seahawks preview. 3-1 would be a great start. We appreciate it. Enjoy your time social distancing. What's your Twitter handle so people can tweet you, poke you, whatever you want?
Can you do that on Twitter? No. It's at Jessamyn McIntyre, except there was just not enough characters for the last E on my name. So it's just Jessamyn McIntyre.
All right, Big Ben and Kay Wynn, WST Podcast, previewing every team in the NFC West. We had Jess Root with the Cardinals, Jess McIntyre with your Seahawks. You had Kay Boogie coming through with the 49ers. 2 homers on 1 call between him and Kay Wynn. And then you had Kay Wynn covering the LA Rams. So we appreciate it. In the time of COVID, spending time. WST Podcast and your NFC West preview, sponsored by 88 Acres, the Seed Bar, WST Podcast, or WST_podcast, wherever you get your social media, Twitter, Instagram, and then WST Podcast Show at Gmail. Big Ben and Kay Wynn, NFC West preview. Hawks.
Go Niners!
Hawks, Niners, Cardinals, Rams. I think we all agree. Boom.
Boom. Just as long as they beat the Seahawks and they take those wins away from the Seahawks, as a Niner fan, I'm happy with that.
We'll take 2 wins against the Niners, too.
Oh.
clearly not a Coug if he's never had a hangover.